Our series this week is starting called All. And you're like, well, that's not very creative. And if you're new to Vertical, I'd like to introduce you to myself, Philip. I'm not always super creative, but the Lord's really good. So we're going to look at Mark chapter 12 today. Mark chapter 12, it's where the whole series is going to be based out of, is something that Jesus says, because I believe what Jesus teaches is super important and changes our lives. Amen. So Mark chapter 12, and you turn to the Bible or your Bible app, or if you don't have either, we're going to put the verses on the screen because we believe the Word of God is alive, it's active. We want you to read along because it can pierce down to our heart and our soul. Mark chapter 12, 28 says, one of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well. So he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? And Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. If you read that verse, I would say that verse is not overly complicated. If I asked you, do you need to love the Lord your God with 80% or with all? Any of you would go, all. Oh, praise God. See, I knew we've got an astute crowd today. I sensed it, Lord, yes. And so we read it and we're like, that's not very complicated, but then if we got honest, I know it's church, but if we got honest, if you're anything like me, you're like, well, not everything that runs through my heart may be loving the Lord, right? There's parts of me at times in my heart that I go, I don't know if that's quite right. That's holding me back from loving the Lord a little bit. You don't have to raise your hand. I'll be honest for us. We're all human beings. There's been moments where our heart may not line up with this command. But Jesus says it's the most important command. The most important. If I told you, hey, I'm going to tell you the most important thing to being successful in business, you'd probably pay attention. If I told you the most important thing to having a healthy, successful marriage, most people would pay attention. The most successful thing to make you a great parent or grandparent, we'd pay attention. Jesus says, I'm going to tell you the most important thing spiritually. And we're like, eh. And then he tells us, and it's simple. But then we realize our human hearts, that's difficult. It's difficult. And then I'm going to start sharing. The Bible talks about our hearts a lot. Jeremiah 17, if you want to write it down in your notes. Jeremiah 17, verse 9, says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. If you're like me, and Jesus says, well, I need to love the Lord with all my heart, okay? That's important. That's what Jesus says. And then Jeremiah, who's a good brother of ours in the Old Testament, says the human heart is deceitful and wicked. And you're like, well, what am I supposed to do with the deceitful, wicked heart that's trying to love with all my heart the Lord? There's a disconnect there. How do I do that? And maybe you've been coming to church for a while. Maybe you were trying to be a good person. Maybe you're looking to follow Jesus and be a Christian. And then you realize Jeremiah 17, that dude's on to something. He may have figured something out that we don't always talk about in churches sometimes, is even if I'm trying to do the right thing, there's sometimes the heart I've got doesn't want to do the right thing. I can be deceived sometimes. And if you don't believe me, think about it this time. You're just picture this at Chick-fil-A. Praise Jesus. This illustration has started off strong. And as you're sitting there, your heart just beckons to you. Do it. Go for the fifth Chick-fil-A sauce. And you're like, yes, lead me into the ways of the everlasting, yes. Or maybe, you know, you're like going on the car lot and your heart's like, you do need the brand new vehicle. And your bank account is like, who said that? Who's talking there? Maybe your heart's like, I will root the Falcons on to a victory today, my brother Kirk Cousins. Help us, Jesus. Or maybe you're in middle school or in high school and your heart's like maybe leading you to somebody you don't need to be dating. Not right now. You'll figure that out later, right? Anybody been there who's been there a little bit older, a little more seasoned, can say amen. The heart may want some things, but it may be deceitful. But we live in a world that tells us to follow our heart, lead us, it'll lead us into all truth. That's like a nice little poster. We're going to put that up in the kitchen, right? Just follow your heart. But Jeremiah's like, well, that's going to lead you to a train wreck. Jeremiah's like, don't follow your heart. It's deceitful at times. And it's wicked. It's not going to have every good intention. Not everything has a good intention. My wife and I, we watch a show sometimes when we get free time, and it's just about customs agents. And it's just interesting to watch what the human race believes is okay to bring on a plane. It's just amazing. Like, you're like, no, ma'am, you cannot bring a goat on the plane. Like, how did you even get in the airport with that thing? You know, like, I mean, just, and then you like people, they start opening the bags, and it's always surprised. They're always surprised. I don't know how $100,000 of ecstasy got in my bag. Can I see, is that in, that's not my bag. No, that didn't happen. Can I tell you, not everybody in life has good intentions. Yeah. And then some people, they just didn't even have any intention. They have no idea what's going on. Not everybody has good intentions in the world we live in. And look what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart. I know I can get labeled as old-fashioned or I'm too traditional because I really believe the Word of God and we should apply it to our life. But this verse is on to something, because if you lived in this life long enough, you realize some people can fake it for a while. You can come to church and learn routines and you can fake it for a while, but the Bible's true. Eventually, what's in your heart's going to come out. And if we don't allow the Lord to transform our heart and we just try to do it in our own strength, eventually human things are going to come out of our heart rather than the Lord. And so the Bible says, above all, guard your heart. Maybe boundaries are not restricting, they're healthy. Not like in a religious way. Like, I'm not trying to bury you under laws or religion or anything, but starting to think, how do I protect and guard my heart? Because everything flows from it. It's going to affect who I am. And maybe you've come to church today, and I ask, what's rumbling around in your heart? Because sometimes people have an ability like to just shut their mind down like a computer. Just turn that bad boy right on off. You can ask your spouse, your friend, what's going on in your mind? Literally nothing until you ask that question. It was glorious. You interrupted my mental vacation. But our heart's not like that. You can't switch off your heart. There's always something rumbling in your heart. And what's rumbling in your heart right now? Maybe is it peace? Is it joy? Is it pride? Lust? Bitterness? Envy? Greed? There's always something rumbling around in our heart. And it may not be shown yet, but we kind of know it's there. And the Lord says He searches everybody's heart. He searches everybody's heart. He knows what's in there. And sometimes that's why we hide from the Lord. But I'm telling you, I don't think the Lord's searching our heart from a posture of like He wants to punish you. I think the Lord searches our heart first and foremost because He wants to heal us. And He knows our human heart is deceptive and it's wicked. And if He searches it out, He can bring us into healing if we'll allow that. But not everybody has good intentions. This world doesn't always have good intentions. Can I tell you that this world views you as profit to be had, but God views you as a person who is paid for. This world views you as profit to be had, but God views you as a person who is paid for. Like, if you decide today, I want to submit my life and give my life to Jesus Christ, Jesus doesn't come back down from heaven and die on the cross for you all over again. That was already decided before you were born. Jesus has already made the action to come live a perfect life, die on the cross, was raised from the dead 3 days later and ascended to heaven. That part's taken care of already. The question for humanity now is not Jesus being capable of saving us. It's will we submit to the salvation? Will we humble our heart before it? Will we let Him deal with the stuff that's in our heart that's desperately wicked at times? So God has already paid for you. The question is, are you going to submit your life to Him? Are you going to submit all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength, all of your soul? That's the question. Because you were already paid for, but this world also views you as profit to be had. You don't believe me? Do you think this world's not willing to profit off the sadness in your heart and just say, hey, we can solve that with shopping? You don't think this world says, maybe you're dealing with some anger or some insecurity, here's a drink. You don't think this world says, hey, I see that you're lonely or lustful, here's pornography. The media doesn't say, hey, if we can just get you angry and fearful, we can profit off you. You got to keep coming back. Do you not think this world has figured out that they can profit off your human heart? And then when you start to realize that's happening, maybe you think me and Proverbs are not so crazy when we say guarding your heart could be a good idea. Because this world wants to plant stuff in your heart, because once they can plant stuff in your heart, they begin a cycle of profiting off of you. And when you realize people, when they're willing to take advantage of you like that, maybe this world doesn't love me as much as I thought it did. But then when I realized that the Lord already sent Jesus to die on the cross for me, even though he knew I had a human heart that could be wicked, you realize there's a difference in the, quote, love that's being offered. Somebody who's willing to profit off me or someone who is willing to pay for me. That's different. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Because you may be thinking, well, what do I do? This is a real conundrum I'm in. If I'm supposed to love the Lord with all my heart, but this world's trying to profit off me, I've got things going on in my heart that are difficult, that are sinful, it's not quite right, I'm not even proud of it. What do I do with that? 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 23 says, you say I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say I'm allowed to do anything, but look at this, not everything is beneficial. What was happening in the church in Corinth was they were spiritually gifted, they were saved, things were going great, quote, spiritually, small caveat, they were a disaster. Full of sin, and Paul's trying to teach them because, have y'all heard of this word before, grace? I like grace. The only reason I'm here before you is because of grace. I'm a big fan of grace. I like the grace of God. Amen. Well, we got Bobby on the front row. You like the grace too, man. Me and you. Everyone else is like, I don't know. People are trying to profit off me. I don't know about this grace thing now. I like grace, but sometimes what happens with grace is in the Christian circles where we realize, oh my goodness, God has grace for me. I can do whatever I want. And Paul's like, no. That's the human heart. That's deceitful. God didn't give us grace to go do whatever we want to do. He gave us grace because without him, we're going to be in trouble when we sin. So there's grace to cover that, but it doesn't lead us to more sin. Grace does not lead us to want to sin more. So if that's the process in your life, we need to back up. We've got the wrong idea of grace. And so Paul's trying to tell them, yes, there's grace, and yes, God loves you, but people, listen, he says, just because something's permissible doesn't mean it's beneficial. If you're looking for a question to start asking to guard your heart, the question is not, is this permissible? The question to ask that's a good boundary to protect your heart is this beneficial to my walk with Jesus? Two different questions, right? We may be allowed to do some things as Christians. It may be permissible, but it's not beneficial. Think about it this way. When I ask, how do you spend your free time? When I ask, how do you spend, is it full of things that are permissible? They're not bad, certainly not sin. But is anything in your free time beneficial to your walk with Jesus? Because if you're just constantly living your life in a state of permissible but not beneficial, you're probably going to walk up and live one day realizing, I feel empty. I've been doing things that are permissible, but I don't feel full. Well, Jesus said, I give life to the full. But if we want that, maybe we've got to start doing things that are beneficial, not just permissible. You know, because, I remember, if I can talk to the young people in the room, what's one of the questions, and don't look at your parents or anything like that. Parents, don't get judgmental, because you were younger too. Remember that, that's how that happened. Right? One of the questions people always ask in dating relationships, how far is too far? That's just inevitably a question. You're like, no, I never, come on. Don't lie in church. I was a youth pastor for years. It's the question everybody asks. How far is too far? And that's we used to always teach the students, it's the wrong question. The wrong question. The better question to ask in your relationship is, what's going to be beneficial in our relationship to follow Jesus? That's the better question. And so that brings a guideline. It's a border around our life. It's because not everything in this world has good intentions. Another way you want to guard your heart, and this is going to be counterintuitive to how we think as humans, one of the best ways to guard your heart is humility. Humility. Because when you have a humility, you realize life is not about me. I can't love the Lord with all my heart if life is still kind of about me. It doesn't work like that. You want to begin to love the Lord with all of your heart, you've got to go, life isn't about me, it's about the Lord. And for that to happen, there's got to be a humility that begins to guard your heart, because the enemy loves when he can have what happens in a broken, fallen world, right? Have you ever met somebody that said something about you? Did something to you? Betrayed you? Stabbed you in the back? Welcome to the broken, fallen world of humanity. But if life's not really about me, it's not that I have to accept what you've done or what you've said, but you're not getting to live rent-free in my heart. You don't get to enter in with bitterness. You don't get to enter in with anger, because my whole heart is for the Lord. If you've said or done something, I'm not going to hold that, because that's going to take away from me loving with all my heart, the Lord alone. It doesn't mean what was done to you is okay, but the Lord... In Jeremiah 17, didn't he say he searches all human hearts? And it says he will take care of humans according to their actions. You carrying around some righteous crusade, it may be messing with your heart. And if you can't let something go, you're going to wake up one day, maybe you conquered something in a righteous crusade, but you lost your heart along the way. It's not a win in the end. The win in the end, according to Jesus in Mark chapter 12, is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. And you can't love the Lord your God with all your heart when there's bitterness, pride, envy, things like that rumbling around your heart. And humility can guard our heart, because humility is just constantly having to put ourselves before the Lord, saying, I need you to work in my life. Not everything is beneficial. Not everything's beneficial. One of the characters I really like in the Bible is David. I'm really thankful that the way God designed the Bible was to really have some people we can really see into their life. Because it's easy sometimes when we read the Bible, we just go, these people are very different than me. They have a different thing going on. But then he gives us these snippets of really into people's lives that allow us to see these people are not different than us. They're humans just like the rest of us, and they need the Lord just like the rest of us. And what happens in Psalm 51 is King David has sinned. And out of that moment of repentance and correction and the Lord stepping in, he writes this psalm in Psalm 51. And Psalm 51 verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Does anybody like good news? I like good news. I like good news. Can I tell you the good news of these verses? It's the transformational work that we need in our heart. God does it, not us. That's good news. That God does the transformational work in your heart, not you. Because if it rests on me or it rests on you to transform our human heart, we're all in trouble. I'd be like, we don't need to gather here together. We need to go do something, because we're all in trouble. But if the good news is that we can ask God to do a transformational work in our heart, it doesn't mean that we have no action required, but there's also action given. There's action required and there's action given. The action required from us is we have to humble ourselves. We have to have an ability to humble ourselves before the Lord and say, God, I need you to uphold me by your generous spirit. I need you to renew a steadfast spirit within me. I need you to restore a joy of the salvation in me. I need you to create in me a clean heart. That's humility, to just humble yourself before the Lord and say, this is what I need. And the good news is God will begin to do the work if you'll stay humble. And it's not about me. But I do need some help, God. The Hebrew definition of that word, create, has a little more depth to it than just create. It also means to shape and to form. It means to shape and to form. It means for God to do the work in our heart we need him to do. It can't be this hard, stiff, unbreakable heart. It's got to be soft enough for the Lord to mold it and to shape it. And sometimes when God comes in to move in our hearts, and he finds it's stiff and hard and cold, sometimes there's a process that can happen to help that. It's called refining. But man, can anybody testify who's lived long enough? The Lord refining is not pleasant. Can some people with a little experience in life say amen? Help some younger people out. It's not pleasant, but it's helpful and it's healthy. And so when God comes in to create in me a clean heart, can I tell you guys, there's a difference between God cleaning a heart and creating a pure heart. You don't believe me? If anyone got some kids and when they play with a toy, it's every toy, right? Every toy's out. It's a chaotic mess everywhere right now. We got things all over the house. And I came and I helped you clean everything up, and we put it back in every place. The living room looks good now. And so when the friends come over, they think we live in a clean house, but we're like, absolutely not. This is not how we live our life. If we just cleaned it and put it all back up in the cupboards, all that stuff still exists. It's just been put away. That's, quote, clean. That's not what this verse says. God says, first, I'll create. It's different. See, sometimes all we want God to do is come clean, not create. God, come clean up the stuff that I've allowed maybe into my life. Or God, come clean up my heart of the stuff that maybe some people have done me. Clean up my heart. That's not what David said. Because David got to the point in Psalm 51, after he had sinned with Bathsheba, he said, you know what? I don't want just me to be a clean heart. I need a new heart, because my human heart is deceitful and wicked, and it's led me to some stuff that doesn't honor the Lord. So God, don't just clean my human heart. Create in me supernaturally a heart that's different than what I've got, that loves you. Because I don't think we can love the Lord with all our heart with an old human heart. Because the old human heart's deceitful and wicked. But if we say humbly, God, I need you. I don't have any hope in myself. I need you to do something supernatural. So different. I need you to do something, God, that only you could possibly do. And that's to create in me a different heart. Different than my human ways, different than my human thoughts. Like, I need something created by you, and I need you to uphold me by your generous spirit, and I need you to restore to me a joy of the salvation. God, I need you. In that humility that David takes, God begins to shape and form his heart. We'll finish out by reading Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17 is this powerful illustration of what God's capable and willing to do. Proverbs 17, verse 3 says, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. The refining pot's for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. See, God's willing to create in you a pure heart. God is willing to create a new heart. God is willing and able to do all of those things if we'll humble ourselves. But he's telling us the process is something we as humans will run from. If we're just honest, as soon as the Lord starts to refine, because the refining process was heating gold up enough that it went from an immoldable object to now it's heated enough that it can be shaped and it can be formed, It's different. And then also when they're refining impurities, when you get it heated enough, impurities will rise to the top so they can be sifted out. All those things are how God's creating in us a new heart, but that process does not sound pleasant. And it doesn't sound pleasant because it's not pleasant. But for us to go from an old human heart to a new created heart of the Lord, for Him to change all of that and create something new, we've got to be refined. And that process is not going to be pleasant. And then what happens when those impurities start to rise to the top, those things in our heart that need to be dealt with that are holding us back from loving the Lord with all our heart, because there's some stuff that's got to be dealt with. What happens when that impurity starts to rise to the top? This is where humility is so important, because humility will stay in the refining process, saying, God, this is so unpleasant. I'm even scared that you're bringing some of the stuff to the surface that maybe I don't want to deal with. But God, if you're bringing it to the top to deal with it, it's not for wrath or to shame or to guilt. He's like, I've just got to get it to the top so I can get it out. I've got to remove it. But we've got to let that process go all the way and let the Lord do that transformational work. We've got to have our action of staying humble and letting the Lord continue to work in our life. But see, the opposite of humility is pride. And in the refining process, the one thing that will absolutely kill you is pride. Because when the Lord starts to bring that impurity to the top to say, I've got to deal with this to create in you a new pure heart, that pride is going to tell you, don't let impurities come to the top, push them back down. Push them back down. Because maybe it's not even pride. Maybe it's insecurity. Maybe it's fear. What if somebody saw that the Lord was dealing with that in your life? What if they saw that was really in your heart? See, if you let anybody see what's in your heart, what will happen? But 1 John 1 tells us, come into the light, right? We pretend we're without sin. We make Jesus out to be a liar. But if we come into the light, there's forgiveness for all. It's that interesting word again. And sometimes for healing to take place, God's got to bring all of that out of darkness into the light for healing to take place. It's a refining process for us to go from human heart to God-created heart. It's a refining process. And anybody who's got a little more experience in life, can you testify that refining can still come later on in life? Amen? Amen? Amen. God's not like, well, I'll do it when you're younger, and then, you know, you're kind of perfect once you reach a certain age. Like, it doesn't happen. God refines out of love, not wrath. And as God is refining, it's a reminder He loves you. And He loves you enough to say, hey, some of the stuff that's rattling around in your heart, it's not good for you. And even though it's a refining process, and even though it's difficult, and even though it's unpleasant, God's like, I love you enough to not let those things stay. I love you enough to not let those things stay. And I will create in you a new heart. I will uphold you by my generous spirit. But sometimes our pride or fear can get in the way. We want to push those things back down rather than just saying, God, I need you. And my only hope is you working to change and create in me a new heart. And that refining process goes until the Lord returns or calls us home. But what's heated is moldable. And maybe you're here today and you feel like you're conflicted and you feel like you're struggling and you feel like there's this refining process going on. You want to run from it. Can I encourage you? Don't run from it. Submit to it. Because while it is unpleasant, it does have purpose. And the Lord is working in your life to remove some things that are preventing you from loving the Lord with all your heart. And that's what Jesus has called us to. It's all. And anything that's holding us back, God loves us enough to help remove those things out of our life. Because I don't know about you, I don't want to get to the end of my life and realize I didn't give all to the Lord. I kept some for myself. I don't want that moment. You know, one of the verses I always think about in life is like, somebody got to the end with the parable of the talents. Two of those servants, they hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. But the one who lived out of fear, he buried it. He was called wicked. That's all I want at the end of my life, like, just be able to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. But I don't think I'm going to get there if I try to rely on my own strength or my own ways. And the only way for that to change is to let the Lord refine my heart continually. And it's not pleasant, but it's worth it. Maybe you're here today and you're wrestling with that too, but can I encourage you, like, let's let the Lord refine us. Let's let the Lord remove those things out of our heart that are going to hold us back from loving with all our heart. Because God is still doing the supernatural. He's still able to change our hearts. And maybe you're here today and you're like, I have stuff so much in my heart that I don't think God even wants me. That's not what I saw in any single verse. I saw in all those verses a God who's able to change us if we'll humble ourselves before him. And so as we close out, I just want to enter into a time of prayer. Maybe you're here today and you're like, I've never given my life to Jesus, and I've got good news that can happen right now. Right now, you can give your life to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you to come save me and create in me a pure heart, because I don't want my old human heart. It's wicked. It's deceived me. It's led me to pain. God, I need you to create in me a pure heart. Maybe you've given your life to Jesus and you realize I'm going through a refining process and it's been painful and it's difficult, but it's because God loves me and wants to remove things out of my life. God, help me stay in the process. Help me stay humble and refine me, because I don't want any impurities in my life that would hold me back from loving you with all of my heart. Help me. Help me. Help me, Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that you just have this time to come and speak and lead and guide us. And as we close out, maybe you want to, we're going to have prayer leaders available on the side. You can come up to the altar and talk to the Lord. He's the living God, able to hear us and work in our life. And there's grace available today as he works through us in a refining process. You can stay seated. You can worship. But this time's just for you and the Lord. You can come forward. Prayer team's available.